This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly, He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, and He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both His servant and His messenger. I want you to imagine the most expensive possession that you possess, the most cherished gift that you have with you. How would you treat this gift? How would you protect it? How would you want to preserve this gift that is of tremendous benefit to you? All of us, whatever it is we are thinking and conjuring in our minds, that thing would be something that we would want to protect and to preserve. We would never want to harm or damage a prized gift that we have. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, مَسْتَفَادَ الْمُؤْمِنْ بَعْدَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ خَيْرًا لَهُ مِنَ الزَّوْجَ الصَّالِحَةِ. He said, no believer has benefited greater from anything after the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more than having a righteous wife. Meaning after the taqwa of Allah azza wa jal, there is nothing of greater benefit to the believer than a righteous wife. And so therefore, how foolish is it when a man harms or destroys or abuses this gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with? Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his farewell sermon, Khutbat al-Wada'a, he said, فَاتَّقُوا فِي النِّسَاءِ. Fear Allah in relation to your women. Khutbat al-Wada'a is maybe 5 paragraphs long. The Prophet does not address everything in our religion, but of the things he addresses, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ. Fear Allah in relation to your women. وَإِنَّكُمْ إِنَّمَا أَخَذْتُمُوهُنَّ بِأَمَانَةِ اللَّهِ وَاسْتَحْلَلْتُمْ فُرُوجَهُنَّ بِكَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ. He said, for indeed you have only taken them by the entrustment of Allah Azza wa Jal. Your wife is an entrustment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. And they only became halal to you. Allah only made this relationship halal because of an oath you took with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, as you can tell, the topic of today's khutbah is to speak about domestic violence, to speak about abuse that happens inside of the home, violence that happens inside of our homes. In Canada, 1 out of 5 women experience abuse in their relationships. Every 6 days, less than a week, a woman in Canada is killed by her partner, either her husband or her boyfriend. Every year, more than 360,000 children witness violence in their home. These are staggering numbers. And it's impossible for Muslims to avoid this topic. We think sometimes we're immune to this, but that's not the case. These incidents happen in our community. Over the years I've been here, many women have reached out to me about being physically attacked by their husbands, of being kicked out of their homes and homeless because of their husband or their son-in-law, or someone like that. Unfortunately, the other day, we heard of a terrible crime that happened here in the Greater Toronto Area, that a man stabbed his wife to death while their children were in the home. And he was from our community. And I don't know him personally, but He's the kind of person you might have met at the masjid somewhere. He's the kind of person you might have seen at an Islamic event. And it's important for us to reflect on this because we're not immune to domestic violence. And one of the worst issues we have is when people are guilty of violence against their families, and then they try to justify it using a verse here or a hadith there, acting like they have permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be violent and to be a tyrant inside of their home. And we don't have time in the khutbah to take every verse that they might mention and break it down. But the reality is that nobody who sincerely reads the Quran and Sunnah can infer from it that it is telling you to physically or emotionally abuse your family. And no madhab and no scholar would agree with this. Rather, what happens is that men commit these acts of abuse, and when people say to them, how could you do this? He says, well, doesn't this verse say this? Doesn't this hadith say that? How can someone take a portion of a hadith or a portion of a verse and ignore everything else in the Quran and Sunnah to derive whatever meaning they want? We know the Prophet ﷺ, what did Aisha radiallahu anha say about our Prophet? كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. His character was that of the Quran. He is a talking, walking Quran sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We understand the Quran through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, what did they say about the Prophet? مَا ضَرَبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وسلم شَيْئًا قَطْ بِيَدِهِ وَلَا إِمْرَأَةً وَلَا خَادِمًا. They said the Prophet never hit anyone with his hand ever. Not a woman and not a servant. We know the hadith when women came to the house of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, complaining about the treatment of their husbands, how their husbands were treating them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَقَدْ طَافَ بِآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ نِسَاءٌ كَثِيرٌ يَشْتَكُونَ أَزْوَاجَهُمْ. The Prophet said, they have made tawaf, they've encircled the house of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, many women complaining about their husbands. لَيْسَ أُولَٰئِكَ بِخِيَارِكُمْ. These men are not the best amongst you. That they are harming their wives to this extent, they're complaining to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it was not taboo for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to address this topic and speak about it. He didn't sweep it under the rug. He spoke about it sallallahu alayhi wasallam and addressed it. And how can we ignore the explicit instructions and example of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? The Prophet Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu, when he was speaking to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Kunna ma'ashir Quraysh qawman naghlibu an-nisa faqadimna ila al-madinati fawajadna qawman taghlabuhum nisa'uhum." He said, "We used to in Mecca dominate our women. When we came to Medina, we found the women were dominating the men. Islam pushed back against a lot of jahili perceptions of women." Now, this doesn't mean that the woman is in charge of the home. No, the man is still in charge. But the leader has to be a leader who is protecting, preserving, growing, aiding, not being violent, dominating, controlling, harming. There's differences between these things. We all know a leader who is good. We've all seen a good leader in our lives. Maybe they lead a masjid, maybe they're your boss at work, maybe you've seen them lead something. What kind of leader were they? Were they controlling people, breaking them down mentally, beating them physically? Or were they helping people, strengthening them, supporting them, growing them, helping them become more capable, not less capable? And so Umar radiallahu anhu says, in Mecca we used to dominate the women. When we came to Medina, the city the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam founded, suddenly the women had more of a voice. It didn't mean the men were not in charge, But it meant that they became true leaders, not tyrants, inside of their home. Because Islam came and said, this woman is not a thing. She's not a possession. She is not as some of the Arab and Jahiliyyah used to do. They would inherit their woman. If the husband died, the brother would inherit the wife as though she's part of his wealth. In some tribes, they would do this. No, Islam said the woman is like the man spiritually in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you worship Allah, if you pray salah and she prays salah, you're getting the same reward, assuming you pray the same to the same level of ihsan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. The believing men and the believing women, they are allies of one another. They are supporters of each other. يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفَ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. They instruct each other to do good. They forbid each other from doing evil. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَيُطِيعُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُهُ. And they establish their salah and they give their zakah and they obey Allah and His Messenger. أُولَٰئِكَ سَيَرْحَمُهُمُ اللَّهُ. These are the people whom Allah shows mercy to. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah is exalted in might and wise. And Allah says in the Quran as He instructs every husband, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Live with them in ma'ruf. Ma'ruf, you know, is related to our urf, is what is known to be good. The Mufassirun say, the husband is required to treat his wife with kindness related to that culture of his people. The Sharia acknowledges that culture can be different from place to place and time to time. And so Allah is instructing the men to exhibit chivalry and kindness in relation to the custom and the culture of their community. And knowing the times that we live in, and in light of the example of our Prophet ﷺ, it's clear that the Sharia does not justify abuse and rampant abuse that exists in many homes. It doesn't matter what interpretation of fiqh you have, what madhab you follow, what scholar you refer to. You will never find any justification of a man to beat his wife, to present any harm on his wife like this, as happens very often today. And our Prophet ﷺ was bewildered by this idea. قَالَ بِمَا يَضْرِبْ أَحَدُكُمْ امْرَأَتَهُ ضَرْبِ الْفَحْ. He said, how can anyone beat his wife like he beats the stallion? He's amazed by this. What kind of person would do this? ثُمَّ يُعَانِقُهَا ثُمَّ لَعَلَّهُ يُعَانِقُهَا. Then after that he wants to have intimacy with her. Even the animal, if you beat them so much, they want to turn away from you. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, you would not beat your animal like this. And these people want to beat their wives like this. How many of these people realized that these women are the mother of their own children? That they're the daughters of another man? Don't we know the legal maxim, the hadith of our Prophet ﷺ, كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ. As you act, you will be treated. If not in this world, then in the next world. What you do will come back to you. And the act of beating one's wife, it sends a message to everyone in your house. You're teaching your son either to lose respect in you or to do the same as you. And you're teaching your daughter that it's okay for her husband to beat her. Who wants to send that kind of message to their children? It becomes an intergenerational sin. Your actions, after you die, you might be accumulating sins for it in the future. And so the Prophet is amazed. How can a man do this? Hit his wife like this? And our Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, أَلَا وَإِنَّ شَرُّ الرِّجَالِ مَنْ كَانَ سَرِيعُ الْغَضَبِ بَطِيءُ الْفَيْءُ. He said, indeed, the worst of men are the ones who are fast to anger and they are slow to realization, slow to understanding. And this happens often too. The person says, I didn't mean to do that, I lost myself. I got so angry, I lost myself. We have to do muhasabat al-nafs. We have to take ourselves to account. Each of you knows yourself better than anyone else. So ask yourself, is anger a problem in my life? Am I somebody that when I get angry, I have no boundaries? The Prophet said in another hadith, one of the worst of the people, when he gets angered, fajr. He goes into every evil. إِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجْرَ When he gets into a dispute, he's angry, he loses himself. He loses all boundaries. If you are that person, you have to seek help. You have to seek help. What does it benefit you if you lose yourself and you become like this man who killed his wife? Why not take ownership on improving yourself and ensuring you control your anger? Like the hadith when the man came to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, give me advice. He said, don't get angry. He said again, don't get angry 3 times. This leads people to disasters in their lives. So he said, the worst of the men is the one who's quick to anger and slow to realization. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said as well, Allahumma inni uharrij alayka haqq al-da'ifain. He said, oh Allah, this is difficult to translate. I am essentially issuing a warning in relation to 2 types of vulnerable people. Al-mar'a wal-yateem, women and orphans. Domestic abuse does happen to men sometimes. And I've seen it as well. I had one case in the past, a brother was in a wheelchair. His wife and his children used to beat him. So yes, domestic abuse can happen to men. But usually it happens to women. And our Sharia confirms this. Usually women are vulnerable throughout history. Not always, but it is the most common. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns us against harming women and orphans and exalting their right. And he exalts their rights, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the time of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, abusing wives was common. So a man came to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, ma haqq al-zawja? O Messenger of Allah, what is the right of the wife? So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أن تطعمها إذا طعمت, that you feed her when you eat. She eats when you eat. You have a similar lifestyle. وتكسوها إذا اكتسيت, and you clothe her as you have clothed yourself. Some husbands, they say, I'm the provider. Then they don't give anything to their wife. And the wife complains, I can't take care of my children. I can't dress myself. I don't have any clothes. My clothes are all ripped. And my husband won't give me any money. And I've seen this in our community as well. The Prophet says she eats as you eat, and she's clothed as you are clothed. وَلَا تَضْرِبَ الْوَجْهِ And do not hit her face. Do not hit the face. Realize the most common form of abuse in Arabia at the time of our Prophet ﷺ was the man would slap his wife on the face. So the Prophet specifically forbids this and says, do not hit the face. وَلَا تُقَبِّحْ وَلَا تُقَبِّحْ literally means don't curse her. But تَقْبِيح comes from the concept of making ugly. القبيح is that which is ugly. So don't do تَقْبِيح of her. Don't belittle her and curse her and degrade her. And this is essentially the definition of emotional abuse. And some people do this. And this happens both from men and from women, where there's not necessarily physical abuse. They're not physically harming each other, but they are verbally doing so. So he constantly says, you're ugly. I don't like seeing you. Why are you like this? He's constantly belittling her. constantly making her feel ugly, cursing her, calling her names. But the opposite is true as well. I've seen this in our community as well. Women doing that to the men. You're so this, you're so low, you're so stupid, you're not capable. Why are other men better than you? This is against our religion. So the Prophet says, وَلَا تُقَبِّحْ. Don't curse her. وَلَا تَهْجُرْ إِلَّا فِي الْبَيْتِ. And don't abandon her except in your house. Meaning if you're going to leave her, you know, you go sleep on the couch. You do that. You don't kick her out. And too many men will do this. They'll kick their wives out of the house. How are you the protector? How are you the man? And you're going to make the woman homeless. You leave the house. You find a place to crash. If it's gotten to that point where you have to go away from her, you have to leave her for a bit, you be the one to leave. You're the man. You know, part of this whole thing, we gave a khutbah not too long ago, we talked about masculinity. And we said men don't know how to be men anymore. And women don't know how to be women anymore. That's the truth. And that fact comes into the homes where people don't know their roles and everybody's falling apart and everybody's attacking each other and everybody's harming each other. Men don't know what it means to be a man. I mean that honestly, and there's not enough time to talk about this topic. But just from one perspective, like if you want to be a man, you have to look to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha says, the Prophet never took revenge for his own sake. Only if the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were transgressed, that's the only time he would be upset. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he would deal with the issue with hikmah. But if it was against his own self, he would let it go. Now we see the opposite. The man will buy his house with riba. The man will backbite and gossip. The man will transgress the rights of Allah here and there. But when something goes against his own ego, his own feeling of being superior, then he loses his mind. It's the complete opposite of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا." The best of the Muslims in terms of their faith are the ones who are the best in their characteristics. And then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "وخياركم خياركم لأهلي." أو في رواية خياركم لنسائكم. The best of you are the best to their families or to their women. How many times do people show a different face at home, a different face at work, a different face in the community, a different face with their friends? But who are you really is the person you are at home. The person you really are is the person your wife knows who you are. She sees the real you. Even your parents don't know who you are. Your siblings don't really know who you are. That person you're spending your life with, that she sees you more than anyone else, and she sees you behind closed doors, she knows you better than anyone else. So the Prophet says the best of you are the best to their women because that's who you really are. The person we think you are in the masjid, the person people in the public think you are, that's not the real you. So ask yourself who you really are. And this is important for us to think about and to reflect upon. And like we said, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam khutbat al-wada'a, what did he say? Innama akhadhtumuhunna bi amanatillah. Fear Allah in relation to the women, you only took them by the amana of Allah, the entrustment of Allah. And they only became halal to you bi kalimatillah, because of the word you took with Allah, the oath you took with Allah. You think your marriage is between you and between your wife? No. It's between you and your wife and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What made it halal was the oath with Allah, the kalima you took with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so on the day of judgment, if we abuse this relationship that Allah azza wa jal gifted us, you will have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah azza wa jal to protect us and to preserve our homes and to make our homes places of happiness. Ameen. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Bismillah wa hamdulillah, salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Just quickly, inshallah, before we conclude, a few points of importance. To the person who is abused or feels abused, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi, and that people who their rights have been taken away, they look weak in the dunya, but in reality they are strong because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اتقوا دعوة المظلوم. Fear the dua of the one who is oppressed. Because on the day of judgment, you will see who is truly strong, who is truly in a situation of strength, and who is truly in the situation of weakness. So know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi, and He is with you. Second, not to blame yourself. There's no justification for a husband who punches his wife, who treats her with such violence. There is no justification for that. Number three, if it's not safe, reach out for help. We have organizations in our community of Muslims who are devout, like Sakina Homes or Nisa' Homes. There are family and friends that you have that you can trust. And if your life is in danger, call 911. Some Muslims will say, no, don't involve the non-Muslims. Listen, your life is more important than anything else. If your life is in danger, that's the most important thing. Protect your life. Finally, I want to say something. If your marriage is not good, if it's not working, if you don't like your wife, if you don't like each other, our religion did not make divorce haram. Right? Other religions made it haram. Our religion did not. Divorce is makruh if there's no reason for it. But if there's a reason, if you're not able to get along, Allah did not make it haram. And divorce can be a good thing if the option, the alternative, is an abusive house. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَ يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِّن سَعَتِهِ. If they are to divorce, to separate, Allah will enrich both of them from His abundance. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ وَاسِعًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah is all-encompassing and wise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns the husband who holds on to his wife just to harm her. And this happens. Someone feels like the man feels like he's so small everywhere else, the only way he can feel good about himself is abusing his wife and controlling her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَمْسِكُوهُنَّ ضِرَارًا لِتَعْتَدُوا. Don't hold on to your wife intending them harm and to transgress against them. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. And whoever has done so, then they have only harmed themselves. وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا. And don't mock the verses of Allah, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all these evil situations. We ask Allah azza wa jalla to protect all of our community and to protect our lives and to allow our homes to be homes of righteousness. Ameen. In Allah.